Hi, this is Russ Volkman with the Integral Leadership Collaborative Conference. I'm introducing now Peter Mary. Peter is well known for his work in the Netherlands with the what is it, the human
Center for Human
the
Emergence.
Center for Human Emergence. Thank you, Peter. And he's worked with IBM there and with a number of other government clients, and he'll perhaps tell us more. He comes from a very strong background in spiral dynamics. He has a wonderful book out called Evolutionary Leadership, which everybody should buy. And welcome, Peter.
Thanks, Russ. Great to be here.
I know a little bit, as I've described, about things you've been doing historically, your activity with the Center for Human Emergence and the consulting work and so forth. What are you currently interested in and excited about?
Well, that's a good question because things have shifted pretty radically the last year, 6 months or so, to do with, as ever, the life conditions that I'm experiencing in the world around me, and what others in our community over here are sensing as well. And there's two elements to it, really, in terms of the life conditions. Basically, I think what we're seeing is things getting far more intense in the world around us. There's going to be a load more turbulence than I think any of us are expecting. We think we're past a point of no return in terms of Gaia's response to the imbalance in the planet right now, and that's going to show up both in weather, extreme weather patterns, in breakdowns of supply chains and all sorts of things, as well as we're seeing the financial system. So we're seeing a major breakdown of systems right now. And so on the one hand, that's going on. On the other hand, we've spent a large part of the last few years working on what we probably call whole systems change approaches, theory U, integrating chaotic, art of hosting, all of these things that essentially work on what I would call the social architecture. So trying to get coherent alignments between people and organizations who need to work together in diverse collaboration to be able to match the complexity of the challenges we're facing. And that, we developed what we call mesh working over the years, inspired by Dr. Don Beck's concept. And it's been pretty successful, and there's an increasing interest in it. And yet at some point we hit a kind of moment where we had this deep sense that trying to match the complexity in that way through complexity was actually not going to work. That one, it was too complex. It was taking too much energy, and there was a longing emerged in the community for, I guess, what's been called in the past, simplicity, the other side of complexity. And so what we sensed, as I look back at the Spiral Dynamics book, getting some interference on the line.
I'm hearing you all right. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you. Okay. So I went back to the Spiral Dynamics book, and I read the transition between the yellow turquoise, integral to holistic, and that resonated really strongly. And I realized that that was essentially what was happening in our community as we'd been working from yellow green, the kind of integral and people process centered thinking, that we were running up against its limits, and that we really needed to shift into from kind of green yellow to yellow turquoise, so which would kind of release us from what's been called the first tier, where there's still a distinct element of fear-driven behavior, even though you might not think it. And that journey has been a very interesting one because I think the essence of what we're discovering is that, or in for all the best of the systems thinking and so-called systemic whole systems change approaches that are out there, they're still essentially coming from the same mindset, which is still primarily cognitive driven, and that starts really from the parts, from seeing all the different pieces that need to be pulled together and trying to work out how to align them all into some coherent whole that will then do what it needs to do. And that's an enormous piece of work. I mean, for example, we're working with 20 organizations on maternal and newborn health, which is one of the Millennium Development Goals, from pharmaceuticals, government ministries, research institutes, and all of that. And to attempt to work with those different parties to create an alignment that's really going to enable them to collaborate quickly enough to make an impact on these challenges. We're still working on the project, but we're learning a huge amount, and somehow I think what we're sensing is that actually the consciousness that's needed to match the challenge that we're facing is indeed a non-linear leap, which is everything I've been saying in every public lecture and everything, but I'm really beginning to understand what that means. And what that really means in my experience is that we're needing to really start to use the other senses that we have way beyond just our cognitive intelligence. That was why I've been drawn to Wisdom University, which is where I'm putting a lot of energy at the moment. Because what Wisdom has been doing under the leadership of Jim Garrison is integrating the ancient wisdom with new science and the modern wisdom culture, what Paul Ray would call the cultural creatives. And I'm beginning to sense that there is something in that relationship that, in a way, the precognitive consciousness and the postcognitive consciousness that is going to enable us to transition far more gracefully than if we attempt to do this through even the very best of our cognitive mind. And the way I'm seeing it is that if we think about precognitive and spiral dynamics terms, we'd be talking, let's say, purple, the purple-red transition, the transition from that precognitive unity, tribal, it's been called tribal, in tribal way of organizing, thinking, not even thinking, more sensing, where you feel yourself just part of the whole. It's like children before they realize they're separate to the mother. And then that emergence of the sense of separate identity, which Ken describes beautifully in Up from Eden as, you know, moving from the kind of the snake that's eating its tail, the Typhon consciousness, into the with the solar ego emerging. And what happened then in our development is that instead of transcending and including that Typhon consciousness, that unity, in our, I mean, kind of what's become industrialized world, we transcended and repressed, which means that there's a fundamental separation in our individual and collective consciousness, which has led us to believe, you know, see ourselves as separate from the earth. And it's that fundamental break in the line of evolution of consciousness over time, which has meant we've been able to do what we've done to the planet, which has brought us to the edge of, you know, a very serious crisis for humanity and a lot of life on Earth. It's like the mind forgot that it needed the body to live. You know, it's like the humans are the mind of the planet, and we forgot that actually we are part of the planet, and it's thanks to the planet and the life and the body and the physical that human civilization is able to be there. And that's allowed us to do everything that we've done. So our whole development ever since that split has been skewed.
I was just going to say that sounds absolutely fascinating, and I'm really looking forward to hearing a lot more about it, and I'm sure you could jump right in and continue. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you could connect this to what you're thinking about around the challenges for integral leadership or integrally informed leadership.
Yeah, well, what we're going to have to do, you see, as integral leaders now, is we need to maybe park the transcend and include idea for a bit, and we need to descend and include. We need to descend into the dark feminine, that pre-conscious place where that split happened, and we need to heal the split that's been there. And what that will do when we do that is that will release the post-cognitive unity consciousness that we might see emerging up at turquoise. And it's only, I believe, when we start to work at that level, at the energetic level, where we work with the energy that connects everything up, that we're going to be able to match the challenges that we're facing on the planet. Ken has a beautiful quote in Up From Eden, which is, when the great mother is repressed, the great goddess is concealed. And what I believe that's pointing to is the great mother being that purple precognitive consciousness. When that's repressed, we don't get access to the turquoise postcognitive energetic dimension of reality that quantum physics points to, but also the the kind of ancient wisdom traditions point to. And that it's when we learn to act from that, from those senses, that we're really going to be one, we will be reconnecting to the planet in a far more fundamental way than we can ever do through our minds, and two, we'll be accessing abilities to work energetically that will enable us to actually work with the great turbulence that's coming. I don't think we're going to be able to do it through even yellow integral consciousness, because there's still it's still too limited to the mental realms. We're going to have to go into the body, and we're going to have to go into the energetic realm to do that. So it's what I'm calling the pain and the promise.
What are some of the practices that you associate with doing that?
Well, there's two dimensions to it. I mean, one of the things I got involved in very early was the work of John Seed and Joanna Macy, called Deep Ecology, then, which they now call the work that reconnects, which basically gets you into this space of remembering that you are the Earth. So that's the kind of, in a way, the precognitive work. And then what I've been exploring in the postcognitive dimensions are related to clairvoyancy training, are related to what's called in the Netherlands ecotherapy, in which I'm calling systemic energy tuning, which is the ability to work with the energetic architecture of organizations and natural systems in a way that they are able to be more resilient and adaptive to the challenges which they're encountering. So in the same way that you have a one-on-one kind of Reiki style healing, which people are quite familiar with now, there's a number of people who have take the concepts of Lynn McTaggart around the field and the work she describes, or morphogenetic fields of Rupert Sheldrake, and turn it into a practice that you can learn to work with whole systems at an energetic level. And what they've discovered, and it's all been researched in terms of the impact that this has on natural systems and organizational systems, is that when you work at that level, it massively accelerates the coherence in the social architecture and the coherence of results that you can manifest at the material level.
Have you had any experiences that lead you to be at all optimistic that systems and individuals can go through the kinds of change you're talking about?
Well, the kinds of change I'm talking about involve death and rebirth. So I think there's going to be a lot of death. There's going to be a lot of old systems collapsing, falling away. There's going to be a lot of human pain and suffering in the coming period as we are awoken rudely by the power of the wrath of the mother, let's say, at what's happening. And that's gonna hurt when that happens, and there's all sorts of things are going to collapse around us. So the question is, how can we hospice the death of old systems, of old belief systems, of old ways of relating to each other in such a way that they fertilize the soil for the new to emerge? And on the other hand, how do we create the conditions for the emergence of really the radically new in such a way that it becomes coherent a field as quickly as possible, so that it can take over the helm from the current forms of leadership? And it will happen. It's just the nature of how life works. It mm-hmm. will happen. The question is, how much pain and suffering happens in the process, and that'll be directly related to how much we hold on to old ways of thinking, acting, relating, and organizing, essentially.
Well, you know, that leads to a tendency to pessimism, but if we were, well, I heard the positive potential there, but, and so tagging on to that, if you look optimistically into the future, is there any kind of outcome that you'd hope that this online conference can help the integral community, the people interested in integral leadership, to achieve?
Well, what I'd hope is that this integral community does, let's say, three main things. One, that we learn to look reality in the face. So we need to track the data and really watch the news, because what's coming at us is far greater than anything we could possibly imagine. We need to get out of our comfort zones and face what's happening, because it's only when we really face the life conditions that the systems in our brain and in our bodies are activated to be able to respond. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I think we need to inquire deeply into what are the capacities, qualities that we need to learn as a community of leaders today, pre and post, in the integration of pre and post cognitive, that are going to enable us as gracefully as possible to navigate this transition. And three, what are the ways we can get to build resilient communities that are going to hold us through the turbulence that's going to come and create the conditions for the emergence of the new. So that's what I'd love to see the integral community putting its attention on. In a way, what we need to do is just get out of the models and get into life, because that's where it's happening.
I couldn't agree with you more. Or actually use the models to help us get into life, maybe I might put it that way. Well, thank you so much, Peter. I'm really looking forward to your presentation at the conference. The range of issues and the depth that you've demonstrated in your responses to my questions today just suggest to me this is going to be one of the most interesting and valuable presentations at the conference. So thank you so much.
Good. Thanks for the invitation, Russ. Looking forward to it.